And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, after a very, very, very long hiatus, okay, maybe not that long, about maybe about 2 months, it's Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Hello! I hope you haven't missed me too much as I've been away, as I slaved through finals and slaved through many trips and road trips and weddings and life, thankfully, going back to normal. But I'm really excited to be back with my friend and co-host and producer, whatever your title is now.
I am producer and contributor.
Okay, there we go. Producer and contributor, Michael Lindenbaum, as we tackle something unusual, something that is intriguing, and we're not quite sure where it's going yet. And that, of course, is Marvel's newest Disney Plus series, Loki.
Probably explains why we're doing this podcast together. It just all makes sense now.
So it's funny because we pick up exactly where we were told this show picks up, which is right after Loki steals the Tesseract in Endgame. And he ends up in the Gobi Desert, which is in Mongolia. And kudos to the Marvel team for picking not the Sahara Desert, because I feel like it would have been just too easy to make it the Sahara Desert. But I like the fact that we get to see a little something different. And
it made it more random.
Yeah, and Mongolia is a cool country anyway. It has a really interesting culture. So, like, why not have a little bit of the Gobi Desert? But we don't really get to see much of the Mongolian culture. We do get to see Loki, I am burdened with glorious purpose, right before these weird stormtrooper-looking people. Not stormtrooper, VR trooper-looking people. Show up and arrest Loki. And it's funny how they do it, because this woman just like comes in and like punches him, and he just like ends up going at like 1/16th the speed as she puts this like time collar thing on him.
I love how his lips are just flapping the entire time. It's like, man, he got punched hard. They really want to showcase that.
Yep. And so with that, Loki finds himself in a really bizarre situation, and we're not really sure what's going on, but basically he gets taken to the, basically this thing called the TVA arrives, and they take him, and he is left. Oh, as we leave, there's something purple that is left behind. By the VR troopers or the TVA agents, whatever you want to call them. And that'll, I think, play into something later.
They are so actually called Minutemen.
TV agents, Minutemen, whatever. So they...
No, I actually looked up the IMDb. They're actually credited as Minutemen. So
I like calling them VR troopers, though. Anyway, so Loki ends up going through kind of like a little bit of a montage where first his clothes are lasered off, literally lasered off, and we have our, like... I feel like, is there like one, what was it I said, like way back in Ye Olden Captain America 1 review, that like Marvel owes us one shirtless scene per movie or something?
Yeah. But they destroyed good Asgardian leather.
Right. Come on now. Unfair. I mean, it was such a nice outfit.
It was.
But anyway, so then he has to sign everything he's ever said. So it makes me wonder, first of all, there's a cute cat in that scene, but also, like, is it everything he said since he became a variant or everything he said throughout his life?
You know, I think it's everything. I think it's something he said throughout his entire life.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
That was a lot of paper.
It was a lot of paper, but it wasn't nearly as much paper as you would think, considering how long Loki's been around.
Maybe it's just how long Loki's been around in the MCU.
Or yeah, I was going to say, maybe it's all of the lines he's ever said in the MCU. anyway, so he signs it, and then he's taken into this next room. Oh, he has a uniform now. He looks like a kind of like prison garb. And this dude asks him if he's a robot. And he's like, not that I know of. Okay, cool. Step through this thing. And then it might kill you if you're a robot. I'm like, that's a weird question to ask. Like, is Dr. Doom sending Doombots to infiltrate the TVA? Like, it's such a random question. But anyway, they check his temporal aura. And then we get into this like waiting room, I guess, and he has to grab a ticket. And there's this guy who's also going through the same process. And he's like, I don't need a ticket, and like walks through the line. And so Loki grabs the ticket and he puts it in his pocket. And he's like, I don't belong here. And then this voice comes on like, so you think you don't belong here? And it's Miss Minutes, voiced by Tara Strong. For those of you unfamiliar with Tara Strong, she's been in like everything. She's primarily been known as the voice of Timmy Turner in The Fairly Odd Parents. She was also the voice of the baby in Rugrats. She's voiced Raven in Teen Titans. She's voiced Twilight Sparkle in My Little Pony. She's also done
alternate versions of Harley Quinn
in the Arkham games. Yep.
Yep.
And she also voiced Barbara Gordon at one point.
Yep.
So she's done a lot anyway. So it was funny to see her in this as Miss Minutes. And we get this old style 1950s animation of like, this is the TVA and you're a variant and this is what you have to look forward to. And so they explain that this whole thing is like a Nexus event. There's this like basically there was a multiverse and then these timekeepers showed up and squished the world and mended it into one sacred timeline. And that sometimes though, the timelines want to veer off and that's what creates variants. And so the TVA gets rid of the variants and resets the timeline to normal by removing the cause of the variant, if I understood it correctly. And Loki's like, okay, cool. This still makes no sense to me and I don't believe you, but whatever. And just as Loki is about to continue going down the line, the guy in front is like, no, I asked the guy for a ticket and he didn't give me a ticket. And then he gets dematerialized.
Which Loki,
I do the like finger sparkle thing as if like somebody can actually see me besides you.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that like when he sees that, he goes like, he's like, oh crap, where's my ticket? Yep. Aha, I have my ticket. Here it is. And then it goes into the opening credits.
Yep. And then we actually go to France in 1549. And somebody got killed in like a church, I guess. And we see Owen Wilson's character. And there's like a kid there. And he's like, oh, who did it? Do you know who did this? And the kid points to the mural in the church and it looks like the devil. And I'm like, that's it. That's Mephisto. We're getting Mephisto. If you have not been following this, honestly, how do you not know about all of the ridiculous fan speculations about Mephisto randomly showing up in WandaVision? Like every single episode, oh, now Mephisto's going to show up. Oh, now Mephisto's going to show up. And then he doesn't show up. I got to give them credit that like if they were hinting at Mephisto, that's a great way to do it because it's literally just like the devil on the mural. So basically he takes the gum that the kid has and gives it to the TV, to the agents. And he's like, you know, run an analysis on this. Maybe we'll get something. So somebody is basically messing with history and trying to create more variants. But as a result of their meddling the time, it in and of itself creates a variant. Time travel. Look, people, I'm going to warn you now. There's time travel involved. You will have a headache. You will continue to have this headache pretty much for the rest of the MCU as we get into Multiverse of Madness and Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania because that involves King the Conqueror. Basically, just be ready for the time travel.
And anything that we do with Power Rangers.
Yeah, you know, with Power Rangers, significantly less of a time travel headache.
But it's fun to see Ben squirm.
True. But the time, it's like the Power Rangers timeline shenanigans and time travel shenanigans are very linear and are limited to one episode and then it's done, or a two-parter.
Until we get the Time Force.
But there's not that much time travel in Time Force. There's a little bit, and we see sort of like, you know what? We're gonna leave that for Power Rangers. For those of you new to our show. Michael and I, along with our friends Ben and Brian, also do a podcast called Voices from the Grid, which you can see on our website here. So please make sure that you also watch our ridiculous shenanigans as the four of us review on and off every single episode of Power Rangers ever.
And we say on and off because I need sabbaticals every now and then.
Not just you. Hi, I work full time. I'm in grad school. I run a blog and torture myself with comic books. So I get that. Anyway, So where were we? Loki.
Opening credits.
And yes. We're okay. So Morpheus, whatever. So anyway,
Mobius.
Mobius.
Listen, his name is Mobius. Right now, he is just known as Agent Mobius, but apparently we find out that his name is Mobius B. Mobius.
Boy. Still not the weirdest name in comic books or at Marvel. But anyway, so Loki is taken to trial and we see Owen Wilson's character Mobius in the courtroom, and we see this judge lady, and in the back we see the heads of the Time Variant Authority, timekeeper people. And Loki's like, this isn't my fault, blame the Avengers, they traveled back in time. And she's like, that was supposed to happen. And we know that was supposed to happen for various reasons. One being that Dr. Strange said, you know, there was these various different timelines and various options of what could happen, but there's only one way, and this was the way. So Dr. Strange said it in a way, Dr. Strange's actions in Infinity War set the stage for the events that caused them to time travel in the first place, meaning that they were always meant to time travel in order to save the universe from Thanos. I hate the timekeepers, but we'll get to that. These timekeepers on it, there's this, my brother and I had this conversation of like, the concept of free will doesn't seem to exist now. Because if everything is set and deviations from the timeline causes you to become a variant, then they ultimately know your path, your start and your end. And you don't really have control over that. Do you have control over that?
We'll get to that part because we'll actually see more into that.
Well, that's the whole point of the show, but so the thing is like Loki actually figured out really easily what was going on. How he figured it out is hilarious. He's like, yeah, there were two Tony Starks. Like, you can tell based on the amount of cologne in the air. And I'm like, that is the best way ever. And I actually really appreciate that. Mostly because I just like making fun of Tony Stark. Loki is ultimately found guilty and ordered to be reset, whatever that means. Basically, Owen Wilson's character intervenes and says he has an idea and he wants to use Loki. Fine, why not? So Mobius and Loki end up going into this like room, and Loki gets kind of not even his greatest hits. He gets sort of, he learns, oh, people. Do not text me when I am recording. That is not
We
cool.
got the same
the
text.
The same text, yes. we are also, so Mike and I are also recording Voices from the Grid tonight. So
we have an hour to wrap this up and get into that recording session.
Yeah, so let's do it before Ben kills us. Well, mostly you. Anyway, so we get sort of some introspectives into Loki, including the fact that we know way back in Thor Dark World, because let's be real, we all forgot that movie. Loki tells the elf agents.
The dark elves.
Whatever. The dark elf agents, because if I said elf agents, they wouldn't know who I was talking about. And ultimately where he tells them to go leads them to Loki's mother. So Loki inadvertently ended up getting his own mom killed. And you can actually see the realization hit Loki's face. And it like genuinely disturbs him. But they chat, they do some back and forth, and we find out some things about Loki, including the fact that Loki is D.B. Cooper. For those that are unfamiliar, D.B. Cooper hijacked an airplane in 1960 something or other. 60s or 70s, I don't remember. But point being that he demanded, basically, he hijacked the plane, he demanded a suitcase full of like $1 million, and the same crew and the flight attendant that he initially reached out to take him to Mexico. And somewhere along the way, he just jumped out of the plane and disappeared. That's a real thing that happened. It's one of, I think, the biggest unsolved hijackings in history. Because nobody ever found out what happened to D.B. Cooper or the money. Here we find out that Loki was D.B. Cooper because he lost a bet to Thor and Heimdall.
And one of the funnier things is, as I was actually reading about this, but apparently it was also made to be a play off of the TV show Mad Men. Because apparently Jon Hamm's character, they were supposed to allude that he was D.B. Cooper.
I never got past like the first season of
Mad Men. I actually never watched Mad Men. So I wouldn't know. It was just something that I read. And I was like, okay, that's a neat little throwaway there.
Also, if you're interested in the story of D.B. Cooper, there's a really good episode of Leverage. It's called the B.D. Cooper Job. And they actually get, like, the story of D.B. Cooper in the show was actually accurate up until they start investigating, which is really interesting. But anyway, so then we find Loki killed his mom, he inadvertently killed his mom. But eventually he manages to get away. And he is able to sort of roam around the TVA a little bit. And he finds, because he was looking for the Tesseract. And he finds it in the office of the receptionist guy. And he opens the drawer and there's like a whole bunch of Infinity Stones. And he's like, those are Infinity Stones. And throughout this whole thing, Loki doesn't really understand that this is real. He thinks this is a trick. He thinks it's just like a con. And this is where he realizes that, like, oh no, this TVA thing is legit and I'm in trouble. And then he actually goes back into that room with to where he met with Mobius. And we see Loki be vulnerable after this, which is kind of, we have not seen that before, which is pretty crazy. And Loki reveals that at the heart of it, he's not a bad guy necessarily. He's just a trickster. And that a lot of this is sort of over, a lot of his actions in the movies were sort of overcompensation for whatever thing, which, like, cool story, still murder. I get it, but at the same time, like, you killed 80 people in 2 days. You don't really get a lot of sympathy points from me. But he sees... He manages to fight the lady that was mean to him, but he also goes through the rest of his life. And we see little bits here from Ragnarok and then ultimately his death in Infinity War.
And interestingly, for the Ragnarok scene where he is with Thor and their father, Odin, that was actually not supposed to be put in there.
I'm glad that it was.
Tom Hiddleston pretty much said, I need that in there.
I agree, because one of the things that we saw is that his mother loved him very much. And that scene really cements to Loki that his parents, despite mostly Odin's mistakes, they did both love him and loved him as their own, even though biologically speaking, we know Loki wasn't theirs.
Yeah.
So I agree with Tom completely. I was watching an interview with him and Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan and Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen. And... apparently Tom did like a Loki boot camp for some of the crew and like gave like this full-on lecture on Loki, and Anthony Mackie was very upset because I guess they were all filming around the same time, and he was very upset that he and Sebastian Stan had like a really difficult scene to film that day, and they weren't able to like sneak out and go and attend this symposium on Loki, as they called it. I find that really funny, and I think that's a really cool thing that an actor is, first of all, the fact that like these actors have played these characters for so long that not only do they know these characters inside and out, but they are considered the experts on that character. And I think that is really a testament to how Marvel treats their actors, and also how much the thing about the Marvel shows that I think every major actor that has been in the shows has pointed out, because Elizabeth Olsen has said this, Anthony Mackie has said this, is that they were able to work with their head writers and showrunners, or whoever you want to call them, to really add something of themselves, because they now understand this character better than just any writer they would bring in, because they've played this character, they've been on a journey with this character. And so to see, like, and that's just really cool to me, that like the actors are just like, it's not even just like, oh, this is the lines and this is what my character does. It's getting into the psyche of the character, because they've been playing these characters for 3, 4, 5 movies.
Yeah. And then also what came out of that was that Elizabeth Olsen confirmed that there will be no WandaVision season 2. Which we knew, but everyone was going, oh, we're still going to get a season 2. And then Elizabeth Olsen's like, nah, that's not happening. This was always meant to be a one-off.
Here's the thing. There might be some type of show that will come up in a few years that has, you know, Elizabeth return as Wanda, but it will not be WandaVision because WandaVision is very, very specific.
Yep.
So the question is, will there be another Wanda-themed show? It's entirely possible. Maybe not immediately, right? Maybe somewhere down the line, but it's not going to be WandaVision because at the heart of WandaVision was Wanda dealing with her grief. And we're going to see that in Multiverse of Madness. My guess is there's something else cooking with Wanda post Multiverse of Madness, just because I don't think Marvel's going to let the success of WandaVision go to waste completely. But you know, to each their own time.
Yep.
And speaking of time, going back to Loki here, the last thing we see is that Mobius tells, it's really hard not to call him Morbius because that is a vampire in Marvel. And I know that's not him. So Mobius tells Loki that he would like his help fighting this very bad, big villain variant person. And Loki's like, okay, who is it? And he's like, it's you. And I'm like, I saw this coming a mile away, but I appreciate it anyway. And so the final scene is actually another variant timeline. And we see a person in a cloak with like a lantern. And they meet the other people in they meet the TVA agents and they kill them right before they, I guess, destroy that timeline. So it's a little bit of a quiet beginning, I would say. But that's okay. You know, we were talking about how sometimes a quiet beginning is perfectly fine because WandaVision started out really chill in like this very 50s sitcom kind of way. And then it took us on a roller coaster. Loki started off, it wasn't a very action-packed episode, but it had some really good moments, like Loki running away from the TVA agents, right? Him at the Tesseract, him, you know, seeing his life literally, you know, flash before his eyes, and him realizing that his entire life has kind of been a waste and that he needs to do something more with it. And the one thing I want to add is there is some really, where do I have that note here? There's a lot of still like the designs for the bad guys were very like, they felt the designs for the timekeepers felt very Jack Kirby to me, but a lot of the trippiness of it was very reminiscent of Steve Ditko. And I love that despite how terribly they were treated by Marvel and people at Marvel, y'all know who I'm talking about. I love the fact that their mark on Marvel is so big that even something so small can trigger us nerds and remind us of the magic that was Kirby and Ditko. But what do you think, Michael? I think it was an intriguing beginning, and I have a couple theories of where it's going to go.
It was definitely an interesting beginning. I liked seeing Loki vulnerable. I thought it was important to see Loki vulnerable.
Yes,
because if he didn't get vulnerable, like we've had it where like other shows like WandaVision, like, you know, there, you don't want to call her Scarlet Witch right away. You got to do that build to it. Making Loki vulnerable in the first episode, that is the biggest thing that you need to help do the build to what you're going to be moving to. So I definitely enjoyed that. I liked how, you know, just low-key just bewilderment. Like, he's just going, like, this isn't real. And then, like, when he gets the Tesseract back from Casey, and that line that he actually says that he's going to gut him like a fish, Casey, that's actually from Scary Movie.
Okay.
That exact line is from Scary Movie. But then he see, like, you know how like no normal person can hold the Tesseract, and you have these normal people at the TVA just holding the Tesseract like it's nothing.
Well, wait, no, normal people can hold it.
But it was hurting Fury. If it wasn't for his gloves, it was actually.
Maybe.
And remember when Johann Schmidt had it. It actually sent him to where he's. It actually sent him the formula.
Schmidt was also the one that recovered it and like held it in his I guess gloves protect you from the Tesseract now. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, but like, it just became like a cube. Like it. But then the other thing that I thought was hilarious was the part about the time stones. Like, there's like three
time. The Infinity Stones?
Oh yeah, the Infinity Stones. Because there's like three time stones. There's like multiple of them. And it's like, and Casey's like, oh yeah, we just use them as paperweights around here. And,
well,
and
it wasn't just the time stone. It was like the ether and like the powers. It was a bunch of different ones, but yeah.
But the funny thing is like, as he walks around that room and he's holding the Tesseract in his hand, he's just seeing the time stones. He's looking at like the big 50s like TV monitor that they have, like, I guess the timeline on that shows him when a variant happens. And it dawns on him, is like, this is the power greater than the time stones or the Infinity Stones.
And I think that was also an important moment, because like, yeah, haha, it's a joke. But also, like, you needed some moment for Loki to realize, like, this is real and that things aren't going to be he needs to, like, pay attention to what's going on because he is in trouble. And this really is an all-powerful force. Yeah, so it's an intriguing beginning. I think the future of the it seems like it's heading into Multiverse of Madness, because if we're to believe the timekeepers, there is no multiverse. There is just the sacred timeline.
Yeah, I think this is what we got in WandaVision, in this one specifically, because obviously Captain Falcon Winter Soldier was completely separate from the whole thing, because I was building up to something else. This is definitely going to lead up to the Doctor Strange sequel.
So then I wonder if the end of the first season of Loki, because we know Loki's actually already been set for two seasons, is the first season is going to end up with him creating inadvertently the multiverse by telling the timekeepers to shove it.
Well, also keep in mind, Spider-Man No Way Home is also going to play a factor as well.
So yeah, it depends on like the amount of time between Loki to multiverse to Spider-Man. Oh wait, no, sorry. Loki to Spider-Man to multiverse. I keep forgetting Spider-Man's coming out beforehand. I can hear the ice cream truck.
I was kidding.
But yeah, it's an interesting beginning. I think there isn't too much to say about it yet, because we don't really know much about it yet. It's all sort of, you know, still, it's like, it didn't really establish anything beyond the premise. So yeah, I think we have a lot of really interesting things to look forward to. I think the other thing is that the bad guy really is Loki. But it's not Loki. It's a different Loki. And it's not going to be a Loki played by Tom Hiddleston.
Matt Damon.
No. I think there is a female actress that they cast that we have not seen yet. I wonder if she's playing female Loki.
Although there has been rumor that Sam Neill and Matt Damon were brought back.
No, they were. They were seated on the set of Thor, the Love and Thunder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're on for Thor 4. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep. So with that in mind, I guess we have a lot to look forward to. Will we see a different version of Loki or multiple versions of Loki? We will maybe find out next week.
Yep. And we know that the episodes are coming out on Wednesdays, which is completely different from what we're used to, because everything was always coming out on Fridays. We don't know why Disney decided to punch us in the gut on that one.
I think part of it is because Loki's meant to be a little bit different than the others, but it's also part of it is also because of things like Star Wars and Black Widow coming out on Disney's Premier Access, so they kind of wanted Loki to have its own separate spot, maybe.
And Disney, Do what HBO Max is doing, please. Don't charge us $30 just to try to watch the thing.
No, I'm sorry. Better idea. Hi, everybody. If you are watching this, please go to the movie theaters if you can, and it's safe for you to do so, to watch Black Widow. Do not pay $30 to watch it on Premier Access, because by watching it on Premier Access, you are giving Disney permission to keep doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I understood it for when they did it for Mulan.
I didn't understand it for Mulan. I still haven't seen Mulan.
I haven't watched Mulan yet either, but I understood why they did it for Mulan, because they didn't want to keep, you know, they needed to get a couple new movies out there. And Mulan was supposed to be the big one. And
honestly, from what and from what I've heard from Cruella about Cruella, they literally just could have watched, they could have just released it on Disney Plus and nobody would have watched it.
I've heard people want the second Cruella movie, because they're already working on it, to be in the style of Godfather 2, where they bring back Glenn Close from when she did the original 101 Dalmatians. I'd be like, if they do it Godfather Part 2 style, I'd be okay with that.
I guess, I don't know. I felt like, I haven't watched the movie. It felt like it was seemingly like, it felt a little bit like the Harley Quinn movie I wanted but was never going to get, where like Harley Quinn is just nuts and does crazy things to an end goal. Whereas like the movie we did get, the Harley Quinn movie, I refuse to call it by any other name. It is the Harley Quinn movie. It was sort of like, oh my gosh, look at how cool and quirky Harley Quinn is. Ha 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 ha. And I just didn't click with that movie. It didn't do it for me. I didn't enjoy it. But anyway, we're with that all in mind. Please, seriously, if you can, go watch it on the movie theater. The movie ticket will cost you $15. I feel like it's not worth paying. Like, even when I watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or the third Bill and Ted movie, I paid $20 on Amazon's movie theater thing that they had.
I just waited for it to come out on Blu-ray.
See, $20 for four people to watch a movie is pretty much the same, is cheaper actually in the long run than going to a movie theater where it'll cost you $40 for, you know, let's say a ticket is $10 and all four of you go, right?
I just waited for the Blu-ray to come out, because now I have the physical media and I can watch it anytime I want and never worry about any streaming platform taking it off their platform.
Congratulations. Anyway, with that in mind, Michael, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at Twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And of course, everything is on the website at TXHTHockey.com, and for the show specifically, /Nerdy-Notions.
And you can find me and my lovely self, probably, hopefully not getting hate mail, on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. That is the best way to reach me. Tell me what you think of the show. I love hearing from people. You can also find me at Geeky Kaplan. That's with a K, like Billy Kaplan, the greatest superhero ever. That's on Twitter. And my very sad yet ever growing website, geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com, trademark pending. Not trademark. What's the word? Domain pending. No. That's on WordPress. And be in touch. We'd love to hear from you, and catch us next week when we tackle whatever wackiness Loki throws our way with episode 2.